God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're in the second part of our eight-part series on Christian stewardship, taking a look at various principles. Last week, we talked about how God is the creator of all things. And because he creates all things, everything belongs to him. Today, we're going to take a look at that concept and build upon it. Since God is the creator of all things, obviously he owns all things. We don't own them. So we are nothing more than just managers, caretakers. And that's where that word stewardship actually comes from. The steward was the manager of the house. None of it necessarily belonged to him because some of these stewards were really considered slaves. They were more household managers. So they weren't the owners, but they were the ones that the owner had now put the house and the maintenance of the house and the care of the house under their care. God does the same thing with us. He gives us his creation to take care of and to manage. But one has to sort of begin with the question, well, how well do we manage what God has given to us? Are we really good managers? Or are we sometimes poor managers? Let me illustrate, first of all, with what our representative from the district office said to us a couple weeks ago, actually maybe about a month ago. You may remember that Mr. Blatt came to give us a little bit of a report and to introduce the annual report from the Northern Illinois District. The one thing unusual about Mr. Blatt was he was my junior high principal. He was principal when I was attending St. Philip Lutheran School. And you may remember, because I certainly do, is how he sort of began. He said, if there's anything you really like about your pastor, give him the credit. If there's anything you didn't like about your pastor, blame your pastor because then he didn't listen. And there's something very true about that in connection with management. We have to remember that even our education process shows a very good opportunity on how well we manage. You see, going to school is a gift. Learning from my teachers and mentors is a gift. Now, how well did I appreciate those gifts? I will admit there were some days I went to school and I probably did not appreciate those gifts. And as Mr. Blatt was somewhat saying, I would turn off my ears and sort of do my own thing. I wasn't a very good manager of this education that was being given to me. But the times that I did listen, great, I learned, and I grew from them. So it is also with us. God has given us many gifts, and I know the kids are probably thinking, school is a gift? And the answer is yes. It's an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow. Now please keep in mind that my principal and my mentors did not invent science. They did not invent mathematics. They did not invent the English language. Someone taught it to them, and then they in turn taught it to others. Hence, schooling is a very important gift that we can share with that next generation. This is one of the reasons why we have an early childhood care center across the street, because it is important. It's also important for the students to learn that this is a gift from God. And with that gift, as with any gift from God, we have to beg the question, how well are you using it? Needless to say, as I came slowly, I'm coming to this realization, I'm not always the best manager in the world. I have to confess that there are times that, yes, I am selfish. There are times where I'm more concerned about my own ways instead of saying what's really best. And in the midst of managing, we need to realize that it's not about me. It's about God. He is the one who is the owner. He is the one that is the giver of these good gifts, even though we don't deserve them. Even though that we are lousy managers at times, God still gives us gifts. That's the strange thing about God, but also the lovely thing about God. You see, if we were to give a gift at Christmas time to somebody and they would take our gift and break it in a bunch of pieces and wouldn't be appreciative about that gift, We wouldn't be so inclined next year at Christmas to give them another gift. Not so with God. Even though we're not the best managers of what God has given to us, what does God still do? He still gives us gifts. This shows us the love of God. Not that God's crazy, but that he truly does love us. He's truly going to give us gifts. And so Luther, in his explanation to the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, when he gets to the daily bread, he describes it this way. God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. So do you receive the gifts that God has given you with thanksgiving? Are you content with the gifts that God has given to you? Or are you one of these managers that sit there and say, you know, I only have a little bit. I really need more for this operation to take place, God. Where are you? Or are you one that sits there and realizes that, yes, what God has given is enough? You see, too often, if we don't understand that proper aspect of managing, it's not so much of us complaining to God. It's us starting to think that we are owners instead of managers. Let me illustrate it this way. If you are doing well in life, if you have been blessed with a lot of things, very often our mind may start working in circles that starts thinking, I'm the one who acquired this. I'm the one who built this up. I'm the one who created a nice place for myself. Then we have to start going back to what the Proverbs say. The Proverbs, from Proverbs chapter 30, beginning with sort of verse 8 here, the second half of it, the Proverb writer here says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full, and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Isn't it interesting here that the author here of the Proverbs clearly notes, having it all may not be the best thing. Because if I have it all, do I truly know that God is the creator of all things? Or do I think that I'm the one who acquired it? I'm the one who built it up. I'm the one who deserves the credit, like I am the owner. No, the author here of the Proverbs is clearly trying to remind us that if we have too much or too little, we find ourselves in a very precarious situation. And so it is God who sits there and says, I will give you what you need. Not too much, not too little. But now can we receive with what God has given to us with thanksgiving? Can we realize that if God chooses to bless us, then we are blessed? If God chooses not to bless us as much as he has blessed other people, we are still blessed. Let me illustrate with the life of the prophet Job. Many of you may know that Job was truly one of the wealthy people. He was truly blessed. And then something happened. God allowed his wealth to be taken away. He literally had nothing. Even his health was taken away, but not his life. And in the midst of all that suffering, in the midst of all that pain, in the midst of all that misery, Job basically came up with the realization, are we only to accept good from God? Can we not accept it when God takes away some of these blessings? But even in the midst of all that pain and suffering, Job did not give up his faith. At the end, when things were going to turn and Job was going to be restored, Job had some very peculiar words for us to pick up for today. From Job chapter 21, in learning the lesson about how other people don't understand that they're just managers and not owners, this is Job's interpretation of those other people. He says, they spend their days in prosperity, and in peace they go down to Sheol. They say to God, depart from us. We do not desire the knowledge of your ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we get if we pray to him? Someone who is truly self-centered and truly thinking that they actually own things will probably sit there and say, what good is it for us to go to God and pray to God? Does God really give gifts? Job, however, realized that this was not his way, as he closes this passage by saying, the counsel of the wicked is far from me. He truly realized that even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of pain, that God is still giving him gifts. Gifts that he can manage. Gifts in which he should sit there and say, thank you, God. How can I take what you have given to me and use it well? But too often we see, maybe even within ourselves and within others, people who abuse gifts. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short of God's glory. And so the psalmist in Psalm chapter 8, beginning with verse 3, sets the tone for us when he says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And so let's begin with that question. Why would God want to give us gifts? If we're not good managers of these gifts, why still do it? And again, we go back to the love that God has for us. God ultimately showed his love for us that he was willing to die for us. To die for sinners? To die for people who mismanage his creation? And the answer is yes. Talk about grace. That God gives gifts, even though we don't deserve it. That God gives us daily bread, even though we don't always appreciate it. That God gives us many things, even though we want to claim these things and saying, look what I have achieved. Talk about grace. Regardless of our sinful nature, regardless of our mismanagement, regardless of our laziness, God gives grace. And all he asks in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, as Luther says, is that we receive it with thanksgiving. Now, I will admit, our sinful nature is sometimes very strong. And we may say to ourselves, why should I receive this with thanksgiving? I still have to work. It's not like I can sit in the lazy boy with some lemonade in my hand and get a nice suntan on Tuesday morning, because we have a Labor Day weekend. Many of us will be going, quote unquote, back to work. Well, that's true. We do have to work. We have to remind ourselves that, yes, even though God has given us many things, he charges us to take care of them. And that means responsibility. And we all know what responsibility means. It means we have to work. Going back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Notice Adam and Eve didn't set up nice lazy boys and ask the animals to fetch them some lemonade or some suntan lotion. No, their job was to work and take care of it. But it got worse after they sinned. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 13 through 19, God says, cursed is the ground because of you, and in pain you shall eat it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Needless to say, even though God is giving us gifts, we still have to work. Another way of beautifully illustrating this example is that God has given to us the gift of his word and his sacraments. Something we celebrate on a weekly basis. As we get to hear God's gift given to us through his word and sacrament, as we get connected to Christ through that bread and wine and through his word, again, to remind us of God's gifts, to remind us of his grace and his love for each and every one of us. But I will admit, the church does not run by one person alone. We have many leaders who make what happens here at Trinity possible. Next week, we start up with Sunday school. And we need Sunday school teachers to teach God's word to these little ones, because education is important. That responsibility we have to teach the next generation is there. It requires leaders. It requires leaders to continue to maintain this building. People to cut the grass. People to make sure that the shrubs are cut. People to make sure that when things get broken, they get fixed. People to take care. People to have a plan and a vision for how we're supposed to take God's word out to the community. This is your responsibility, because you are managers of God's gift. And so God has given us Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church here in West Chicago, and God is asking us to take care of it. And God says, I will help you take care of it. But being a manager means you still have to work. Being a manager means you still have responsibilities. So with the gift, yes, comes responsibilities. We do not need to mock the gift and be lazy, but we have to say to the Lord, okay, Lord, help me. Help me to be a good manager with what you have given to me. Give me that grace. Give me that guidance. Raise up faithful leaders here at Trinity, and not just here at Trinity, but even to the countries of the world. We need good and faithful leaders to guide people, to be good managers of people, so this world will continue to function and to function well until the day that God calls us to be with Him in heaven above. I don't know exactly what heaven's going to look like. Are we still going to be managers of God's creation, or are we going to sit in that lazy boy? I have a strange feeling we're still going to be managers, because it is God's creation, and He has created us for a particular purpose, to take care of His creation. He loves us very much. He had made us above all animals, above all other things here on this earth, to take care of this earth. He loves us very much, and He continues to give us gifts. So this day we give thanks to God for the gifts that He has given to us, more than we can count. And we ask the Lord to continue to send His Holy Spirit upon us. Continue to open up our hearts, be receptive to His words, so that we will be good and faithful managers of His kingdom. But lastly, we remember that, yes, we have a loving, gracious God who does not leave us alone, but says, I will continue to build you up. I will continue to give you strength. I will continue to bless you. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.